You are listening to a special edition Place to Be Nation Pop Blast. PTBN Comics presents Requiem for a Scarlet Speedster, the life and death of Wally West.
I let the beast in too soon. I don't know how to live without my handler's throat. I fight him always and still. Oh, darling, it's so sweet. You think you know how crazy I am.
You say you don't. Hey, everybody. This is Ben Morse, host of Marvel Age Masterclass, coming at you with a special Place to Be Nation pop blast on a Sunday afternoon here in Las Vegas. I'm talking to my good buddy, the manager, Todd Weber. Good afternoon, sir.
Well, hello, my coastal friend, my same coastal friend. Pretty interesting times we're living in.
Very interesting times we're living in. And it's always nice to be able to chat with you because I can do it during the daytime as opposed to waiting till late at night to talk to those East Coast guys and making them get on the phone at midnight their time.
Yeah, so. Welcome to my world every time.
You want I know, right?
Well, I don't get out. And plus, I work late, too. So not only am I on the West Coast, but I also work till 7, 8 o'clock our time. It doesn't often make sense.
No, we should do more shows together is what I'm taking away from this. Much less of a pain to organize. But the reason we're getting together today is actually somewhat of a somber note. All right, so real quick background. Spoilers for those who haven't read it. Tom King and Clay Mann's Heroes in Crisis number 1 from DC Comics came out this week. And without giving too much away, basically there is a situation where a bunch of DC heroes seemingly die off-panel and then are discovered by Superman. And one of those, probably the most prominent, is The Flash, Wally West, who is discovered by Superman, seemingly deceased. Now, Todd, before we get too far into it, I believe both you and I are on the same page in thinking that this is probably not going to stick.
I am thinking that it's not, but I've seen a couple different, ads. Ad is a terrible, terrible choice, but DC postulated a couple of images throughout the past few months, and the first one I saw, I believe, was in previews, and it said two of these heroes are going to die, and it had this big field. But then the next one I saw was in DC Nation, and that
so one of these heroes
will die. Right.
And so, yeah.
So, I think this has been changed or updated up to the moment of release because it didn't. It was sure anticlimactic to
see how they chose to kill the characters that died.
Yeah, and it was funny because, man, I was just coming out. I mean, I don't think we're not going to comment too long on Heroes in Crisis itself and the death itself. I put death in air quotes there. But it was funny because I had just been listening to you and Russell Sellers on the first episode of DC Post-Crisis Management, where you guys talked about Crisis on Infinite Earths, which is one of my favorite stories, and the great, like, heroic sacrificial deaths of Barry Allen and Supergirl, which are among my favorite deaths in the history of comics. And then you get to this issue where, again, like literally Superman just shows up and all these characters are dead at his feet, Wally West being one of them. So that was the only thing I'd classify as kind of a bummer. I don't care if you kill off my favorite characters. So context there, Wally West is one of my two favorite characters. My two favorite characters are Wally West, Flash, and Nova, Rich Rider, over at Marvel. I have a Scott Collins illustration in my office at UNLV of the two of them racing that I got as a going-away present when I left Wizard Magazine. They've always been my two favorite characters since I was a little kid. And obviously Nova, Rich, was dead for a number of years. And I never had a problem with it because his send-off, both from Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning, and then kind of revised by Brian Michael Bendis in Guardians of the Galaxy, was epic. Like, he went out a total hero, and just, you know, there was no better ending to his story if that's what was going to happen. And I would argue the same for Barry Allen and for Supergirl. Now, with the way Wally and some of these other characters, if this is truly the end and they went off, someone off panel just took them out and it really served no purpose. I'll be a little let down by that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem if, I forget the name of the character who is heating things up.
Hotspot?
Hotspot, yes. I was
Hotspot, unfamiliar. Originally known as Johto from the Dan Jurgens Teen Titans. That was quite a pull.
Yeah, nice job. Johto from the, was that Jurgens and, I'm trying to think, was it
Jurgens and Jurgens?
George Perez?
You know what? You're right. George Perez was the anchor on that.
And you had the teenage Adam.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was the 90s, late 90s, I think.
Very 90s.
Yeah. I wouldn't be so disappointed if, okay, that's the way he goes out. But Wally West deserves better. Wally West is, I would say, my Flash. You know, I before Jack Knight Starman, Wally West was probably the hero I identified the most with. And I don't think we've seen the last, and I think we'll have flashbacks and things going on here. Plus, there's the issues of the Speed Force and all this history that Johns and Wade have written for Wally. But I don't know. I would like to think that he would, if he were to be totally written out of DC continuity, it would be different than this.
It's just weird because it feels like he just came back. Because he was gone with the advent of the New 52. Yeah, there was no Wally West, and it was one of the things a lot of people were very upset about. Then when Johns did DC Rebirth, one of the things he did, the principal thing he did in that DC Rebirth one-shot, was Wally West came back. And it seemed like he would be kind of a crucial part of this storyline of ultimately discovering what happened to the DC universe that's unfolding right now in Doomsday Clock. So it seemed like Wally would be some sort of player in that. He was in the Flash War storyline that Joshua Williamson did in the pages of Flash. So it seemed like he was going to be a major player, which is the other reason why it feels kind of weird that he just kind of got rubbed off again, behind the scenes. Again, you're right. We'll probably see flashbacks. We'll see how it happened, but still, it seems like there's still a role for him to play, so I'm not going to waste too many tears. But I did think this was a good opportunity for you and I, who are both huge Wally West fans, to get together and just talk for a little bit about why the character means so much to us, some of the highlights of his career, and then if he doesn't come back, then we don't have to record this again.
That's true.
Yeah. We'll have it on ice. So, yeah. So how did you first come across Wally West? What was your first exposure to the character?
I was 5-6 years old, and my babysitter at the time, we would go to their house after school, they had a closet full of comics, and the big kids kind of protected their comics. But I can remember seeing just these Teen Titans issues, really well written and drawn, and I'm talking the classic Wolf Teen Titans, Perez. Bob Haney.
Pre-New Teen Titans. All right.
Teen Titans. And also these Flash comics, these Flash 100-page giants and things like that, where you'd see this interesting, contrasting Flash. I knew who Flash was from Super Friends, but having this yellow-suited Flash, not the reverse Flash, but Kid Flash with his hair sticking through. So I knew about him even as a kid, and then I would read stories from him here and there, but I didn't become a fan or an admirer of the character until the new Teen Titans run, Wolfman and Perez, and then following his saga as he quit the Titans along with Dick Grayson in, I think, early 40 issue or late 30 issue. I always liked the costume design. I liked, he was definitely a romantic character. He was always into the girls, chasing Raven for a while, and then Frances Kane, his girlfriend at the time. I enjoyed the character, and then when he quit, it was nice to see him get this story and this push in Crisis. And so then I really became a fan of the character and followed the series when he took over from Barry Allen with number one, and I read the whole run. I have the entire run of Wally Flash.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I mean, you mentioned one thing there that I want to key in on, and that is that classic yellow costume that he wore as Kid Flash. Honestly, one of the best costume designs to me in the history of comics. I don't know what it is about it that makes it work so well, but you throw that costume out there today, it still works. And for me, my first exposure to Flash period, to tie in with that, kind of goes back to the visuals. When I was a kid growing up in the 80s, I loved The Flash before I understood there was someone behind the mask. You know what I mean? Like, I just liked the concept and idea of The Flash. I loved his costume. I loved his powers. I thought super speed was the best power. I would have arguments with friends about flying versus super speed. I was just like, super speed is better. To this day, I couldn't tell you why. I just think it is. And I got really into The Flash as a kid. Then getting into comics, I was more on the Marvel side. I was more into X-Men. I was more into some of the stuff that was coming out in the early 90s. But once I did go over to DC, which I think my way in was probably Death of Superman. It was probably the first DC comic I really bought. And then naturally, I wanted to check out The Flash and I wanted to check out the Justice League. And Wally was The Flash at that point. So I kind of became a DC Comics fan with my initial, like, years ago kid mind loving The Flash, but then also just, you know, when I fell in love with DC Comics in the 90s, Wally West was The Flash, just like Kyle Rayner was Green Lantern and Connor Hawke was Green Arrow. Now, I didn't really get an attachment to either of those characters the same way I did Wally, but there was just something special about Wally, and I just, he was, like you said, like he was your Flash, he was definitely my Flash. He was the Flash I knew before I even started learning his history. That would be much later I would start learning the history, and that just made me like him even more.
Yeah, I think Wally is unique that he was able to really inhabit the legacy. He got to take the ball and run with it, and, well, I mean, Kyle Rayner had a similar thing where he was able to be Green Lantern for 200 issues or so, but
sure.
But Wally was the first to do it, and there was, I still wonder behind the rationale to bring back Barry. I mean,
there
weren't societies being formed to bring back Barry Allen because he died a hero. I mean, it was a good story. Hal Jordan did not die a hero. although they tried to have him kind of fix his ways with Final Night. That's
Final Night, yeah.
Yeah, where he kind of, spoiler alert. But Wally we got to see Wally develop as a man, fall in love, get married, become a better and better hero. And he kind of came into his own, in my opinion, a little bit during the Bill Lebs run, but specifically that first Mark Waid arc, The Return of Barry Allen, which is just outstanding.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I have the trade on my shelf, and so good. Such a good story. If you're looking to get started with Wally West, there's a few starting points for Wally West, but like you said, Return of Barry Allen is great just because it really cements him as the Flash. And I think the thing that always separated Wally and Kyle, and they were teamed a lot, you know, they were on the JLA together, they were second generation heroes together. But I think the thing that always separated them is that Kyle Rayner was a character, no disrespect to him, but he just kind of backed into being Green Lantern.
Yeah, he lucked into it. Yeah.
Exactly. It was a fluke that he was Green Lantern. With Wally, you had that legacy aspect. The fact that, you know, as a kid, he idolized Barry Allen. As a teenager, he fought alongside Barry Allen. And then as an adult, he filled the shoes of Barry Allen. It was a very natural progression. The only other character at the time who was really anything similar was Dick Grayson. Who had, you know, very much matured from Robin to Nightwing. But even then, every time Dick Grayson became Batman, you knew it was a temporary thing. There was never a feeling of permanence to it. I always thought, you know, it felt like Wally West would be the Flash forever. It just seemed like you said, Barry Allen's story came to such a perfect end. And honestly, going back, so now once I got into Wally West, same as you, through the Mark Waid run, I wanted to go back and learn more about not only the history of the Flash, but the history of the DC universe. And of course, eventually came to Crisis on Infinite Earths, which to me was a lot of people complain. I even heard Russell kind of bag on Crisis for being too complicated and too hard to understand. That was my favorite thing about it, was I bought it before I had read a lot of DC comics with the idea that this is going to lead me down the road of learning about all these characters and buying all these comics. And like, this is going to open a whole new universe for me. So I loved how indecipherable Crisis was, but that's another podcast. The point being that I honestly think the most interesting thing they did with Barry Allen in his original incarnation, so we're talking Silver Age through the 80s, was his death. I think that was like the high point of Barry Allen as the Flash. He was really just a stock Silver Age character, just this nice guy, police scientist, kind of nerdy, and just, you know, just he didn't distinguish himself really from the other Silver Age DC characters, except for the fact that, again, I think he had a cool costume, he had cool powers, he had cool villains, cool sidekick, he had all this cool stuff around him, but he was kind of, I don't know, am I off base in saying that Barry Allen was a little bland originally?
Maybe at first, I mean, but
yeah,
like you've said, all of the Justice League were kind of interchangeable in their dialogue, sure, within that book, but I would say with Barry, at least that character got to go through the ringer a little bit. I mean, he got married, and then his wife was murdered by the Reverse Flash. And then they had this long, years-long trial, Kerry Bates wrote, where Barry was again put through the ringer, having to relive all this stuff because Barry went back and killed the Reverse Flash so that he couldn't kill anybody else. And then he was tried for murder, and it turned out that Iris was really alive because she had projected her consciousness into the future, or she was really from the future. It was very, very convoluted. But at the end of the day, Barry and Iris got to live happily ever after until Crisis. And so, I mean, they'd done a lot with Barry, but he as a character was a nice guy. I think Darwin Cook wrote him best in initial incarnation of Barry, Silver Age Barry, in The New Frontier. I mean, so perfect.
That's a great call. Yeah.
And you know, he's always late for things. There's a distinct personality to Barry versus the Flash. He's having fun as the Flash. He gets to use his scientific knowledge. So he was kind of unique that way. But Wally was a Gen X guy to me. I related to Wally as my generation. Kind of hot-headed at times. Felt the responsibility of his powers, not unlike Peter Parker a lot. His dad turned out to be this Manhunter agent. It turned out that Barry actually gave Wally his powers in that Secret Origins episode or issue, where he was the lightning that created that. And it was kind of a weird book. I don't remember who wrote that Secret Origin of the Flash family from the classic Secret Origins run of the 80s. But Barry versus Wally. Wally was just more me. I got him a lot more.
The Peter Parker comparison is apt because I think the thing about Wally, he even almost takes it a step further. So Peter Parker is super relatable. We can all, you know, kind of feel like we have something in common with him. We all had that period where we felt like the world was against us and we were the teenager who was trying to struggle through life. I think the thing about Wally that is so cool is not only is he relatable, and we'll talk about kind of what Mark Waid did for him, what Geoff Johns did for him, because I think they both added layers to the character, but from the jump, I think the most interesting thing about Wally is, like just about like 99% of people reading comics, he's a kid who wants to be a superhero. And that is what's so supremely relatable, that that's what he wants to do. He wants to put on a costume. He wants to get superpowers. He wants to help people. And once he does have that, he just leans into it full tilt. He loves being a superhero. Of course, he would have kind of the struggles. Once he got to the Wolf and Perez Teen Titans, he did have kind of the internal struggle of, you know, do I want to keep doing this? Is it dangerous? Do I want to live a normal life? And of course, became very three-dimensional. But I think at his core, what was cool was always that he just thought Barry Allen was the best guy in the world and wanted to follow in his footsteps. He wanted to do what his hero did. And he eventually got that chance. And that was what was so cool about Barry, or Wally rather, in those initial, he evolved, but initially it was so much about like, I got to live up to Barry, I got to live up to Barry, I got to live up to Barry. And then I think, like you said, Mark Waid and I want to say Greg LaRocque's Return of Barry Allen is a turning point because without spoiling the story, events happen that basically force Wally to say, all right, I'm no longer trying to live up to Barry's legacy. I'm the Flash. And moving forward, like this is my identity and I'm going to do all the good I can. And that was kind of the thrust of, I would say there's two thrusts of Mark Waid's run on the Flash. One is Wally really claiming the identity for himself. And I think the other one, which you spoke on briefly, is the romance between Wally and Linda West. It's just a great love story. And I love that, you know, there, you could argue that, you know, Clark and Lois are obviously the classic DC couple, and there are some other great comic book couples, but Linda and Wally have always been my favorite, just because it felt like Linda, despite the fact that she's the non-powered wife of the Flash, was just as important to the book as he was, because she was the one who kept him grounded. She literally saved him on multiple occasions. Oh, yeah. When he ran into the Speed Force, like, she was the lightning rod that brought him back. And I liked, even as a kid, I liked this book about this functional couple who made each other better and who ultimately drove each other to be their best selves.
And it was always, like you said, it's always been her who grounded him here, could always pull him back. And that's what's been kind of tragic about Wally since the rebirth, is that she
didn't remember him.
You know, she's been able to live her life and has absolutely zero recollection. So he doesn't really have anything holding him here. He doesn't have his grounding, his you know, his heart. And it is frustrating. Plus, he had kids that have been erased. Not that the kids were my favorite part of the run. That was, I think, from Wade's second go round.
That was when Mark Waid came back. I mean, so much had happened at that point, because you basically had Geoff Johns has this epic run on Flash, did a great job. A lot of great artists worked on him. Scott Collins, Howard Porter.
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah. Scott Collins is my favorite by far. But, you know, Wally and Linda, I liked the idea that he kept growing up, because that was kind of cool, because most superheroes don't get to do that. So he goes from being the sidekick to being the main hero. He gets married. He has kids. At the time, I hated it because I thought it made him super old. And now, looking back as someone with kids, I'm like, oh, that was so great. What a great aspect to give him. So definitely I'm of two minds about the thing. But what happened was, Wally disappeared in Infinite Crisis. And I'll speak a little bit more on the behind the scenes of that when I'm a future guest on DC Post-Crisis Management. But Wally went away for a little while. Bart Allen was the Flash, and then Wally came back, and so did Mark Waid. Mark Waid took over the book and wrote the concept of this kind of super family. It was almost like a DC version of the Fantastic Four in some ways, with Wally, Linda, and the kids. And yeah, it wasn't particularly well received. It's not a fondly remembered run, but I don't know, it was interesting. So that's where the kids came from.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I really liked other aspects of it. I liked when Bart Allen actually joined the team, or joined Team Flash. You had this kind of Flash family, apart from his kids. I'm talking the first wave.
Before that. Mm-hmm.
Max Mercury, Jesse Quick, all these people kind of...
Jay Garrick.
Yeah, as a mentor to Wally. Kind of him expanding the people he trusted and could count on after... He's burned by, well, I shouldn't say that, after the Return of Barry Allen storyline. So,
yeah,
you expanded supporting cast. You got just, Wally was more interesting as a guy, and he joined more teams. He joined the Morrison JLA, like you were talking about, your introduction to him. And eventually, Geoff Johns took over and developed the Rogues with Wally. And that was really interesting, seeing him evolve as a character and taking on the classic Barry Allen villains, but Wally West kind of evolving and facing Captain Cold and all these guys. That's what I remember most about the Johns run. Trying to think, was Cobalt Blue a Waid thing?
Nobody talks about that anymore. Yeah, nobody talks about Cobalt Blue. I'm pretty sure Cobalt Blue was one of Mark Waid. Mark Waid created a lot of new villains to mess with Wally. He created Savitar.
Yep.
I don't know if he created John Fox, but he brought John Fox in as this future speedster. There was that dark Walter West Flash. There was a lot of interesting stuff going on. But you're right, when Johns came on, what I liked about the Johns run, and Zoom, one of my favorites.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, and Zoom, of course. Yeah. That's but Johns was Zoom. But when Johns came on, he really embraced the idea of Wally. The thing about the Waids and Johns runs that I love is that they feed so naturally into one another. Like, the Johns run on Flash feels like a natural continuation of everything Mark Waid did. And that's rare in comics, when one writer can have a long, well-received run on a character, and then another writer comes in and kind of picks up the baton and doesn't start over and doesn't go in a completely different direction. I would argue that Johns, being a huge fan of Mark Waid's work on The Flash, really just told the logical next chapter in the Wally West story, which was Wally West becoming really becoming like the everyman hero of DC. That's another aspect of him I liked, is that he was friends with everybody. Like, Batman liked him, Superman liked him, Wonder Woman liked him, because he was a good guy, and he was fun to be around. And he was just the everyman superhero. I love what Johns did with his city, kind of making that a character in the book. Both city, Keystone City and Central City, right, both became key characters in The Flash. And then, like you said, in addition to developing some great new villains, including Zoom being kind of the apex of that, bringing back the classic rogues, bringing back a lot of the classic Barry Allen stuff, and seeing how Wally would do with it. In some ways, it feels like the table was set for Barry Allen's return at some point, just because all these elements were being brought back. But I don't know, I never saw it that way. I always saw it as, here's Wally interacting with parts of the Flash legacy and parts of the larger Flash story that just make him more interesting. So I feel like Waid made Wally the Flash, and then Johns really dove into what that meant. So it's like they really did a nice handoff to one another.
And Johns was the one who ultimately brought Barry back. But
yes,
I wish that, Wally had all these contemporaries of his that he grew up with, the Teen Titans, that were allowed to age and have their own adult Titans book. But he was the only one who really, I mean, I guess I had Dick Grayson, Nightwing, and taking over for Batman somewhat. The rest were all kind of always in the shadow of their others, but Wally got to take over. And so he always seemed to outclass the rest of the Titans to me.
It was always cool. It was always cool that Wally was on the Justice League. Yep. That just felt neat, That felt neat that he graduated. He got to go to the varsity. And when the Titans kind of came back together and had their own book, Wally was in both books for a little while. He was in JLA and he was in Titans. But it definitely felt like he was in Titans kind of like as a favor and almost like a pity thing. Like, yeah, sure, I'll come out and help you guys out. But really, yeah, exactly. But really, I'm on the JLA. And that was where I always felt like Wally belonged there. For me. So I never felt like I liked it when he would team up with the Titans, when he would team up with Nightwing. But I always felt like he had earned his place on the Justice League, and that always felt natural to me.
Well, who came back first, Hal or Barry?
Hal.
Okay. So that explains to me why Barry came back in a way.
Yeah. I mean, John, well, it was the exact same creative team who did both. It was, John's Nathan Van Sciver did Green Lantern Rebirth, and then a few years later did Flash Rebirth.
Yep.
But I always got the sense that Green Lantern Rebirth was one they were both pretty passionate about and really wanted to do. And I think that's, you kind of touched on it earlier, but I think the fans felt that way too, that a lot of people really wanted Hal Jordan back, and the story to bring him back was, it's a masterpiece. And then Flash Rebirth, I don't know, because I was at Marvel at the time, so I wasn't behind the scenes on DC, but just as an observer, it always seemed like someone made the decision to bring back Barry Allen. Hal Jordan coming back felt like a very organic thing. Felt like a lot of fans wanted him back. The creators did what they had to do. Editorial did what they had to do to move the pieces in place so that Hal Jordan's return made sense. With Barry Allen, it felt very much like somebody wanted him back.
Dan,
I'm not going to name names.
DD. So,
but if not him, then someone close to him, and it felt like, rather than, oh yeah, we can all get behind this, it felt like we got to make this work. So let's do the best we can. Do you get that sense?
Yeah, I do. I mean, if we look at the big timeline of DC, Flashpoint came not too long after Barry came back.
Right.
And so it seems to me that they brought Barry back so that they could tell the Flashpoint story. Barry goes back in time, prevents the murder of his parents, or of his mom, and everything has changed. And so that led to the New 52 continuity. And I don't know. I mean, I guess if that was the case, there was probably a way to do it without bringing back Barry, but that's the story they wanted to tell. They want to have these heroes on the ground floor and then use them in TV. And Barry Allen on TV is Wally West, at least personality-wise.
Well, yeah,
we've talked about this before.
Well, that was the next point I was going to make, is that the interesting thing to me is that not only is the Barry Allen who you see on the CW on The Flash, to be fair, he's an amalgam of the two. There are elements of Barry Allen from the comics in there, to be sure. But I do think, yes, there's a healthy dose of Mark Waid, Geoff Johns, Wally West driving that character in the TV show. But I also think that the Barry Allen we get in the comics and that we have since New 52 is certainly not the Silver Age Barry Allen. Right. And that's not to say he's a Wally West clone, but he's definitely a character who I think is much more relatable and much more likable. And I do think takes some cues from Wally. And maybe that's why ultimately, you know, Wally couldn't exist in the New 52 or in the Rebirth era, because so much of what made him special and made him cool had in some ways been co-opted to make Barry Allen a better character. So it's kind of hard to slot Wally in there. It sucks, because at the end of the day, I feel like they've been able to, with Green Lantern, I mean, maybe that's the nature because there's a Green Lantern core, so you're always able to have all the Green Lanterns. They all have a role. They can all have a title. Like they have their own thing to do.
Hal Jordan is, six of them are Americans from Earth.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, even if Hal Jordan's the lead dog, like, there's stuff for Guy Gardner to do. There's stuff for Jon Stewart to do. There's stuff for even Kyle Rayner to do. They didn't quite stick the landing with that on Flash. Like, once Barry Allen was back, it felt like, okay, Barry Allen has to be the main Flash. And anyone else is just kind of off to the side. These other speedsters don't matter as much. And specifically, it just felt like there was no room for Wally. Because the thing is, Todd, at the end of the day, like the big point to make is that I think when all was said and done, Wally was the Flash for as long as Barry was the Flash.
And
so with Hal Jordan and Kyle Rayner, you had Hal Jordan for decades was Green Lantern. And then even though Kyle got, you know, like you said, 200 issues in, he was really only Green Lantern in the grand scheme of things for a short amount of time.
Yeah, a dozen years or so.
But Wally was the Flash for a generation of readers. For our whole age group, Wally was the Flash that we grew up with. And I think ultimately that's probably what has hurt him over the last few years, is that we can't have both of them. With Green Lantern, we could have everything. But with Flash, it's like, it's got to be either Barry or Wally, because the two of them coexisting would have to be equals. They can't. I think that's what's ultimately been done, is that Wally can no longer be the sidekick to Barry Allen. He has too much cachet behind him. And I think even what they tried to do in Rebirth, bringing him back and putting him in the Titans book and all that stuff, it was ultimately doomed to fail, just because that's not how we see Wally West. We want to see Wally West as the Flash, not as a Flash, as the Flash. That was all his best stories were about, him becoming the Flash.
Yeah, there's not a Flash core. I think the elephant in the room is that New 52 rebooted Wally with a new person called Wally West, who shared none of the memories, didn't look like him, was de-aged, and Rebirth ended up saying that, okay, no, that's a different Wally. There's two Wallys now.
Yeah.
And that became, you know, trying to solve that problem became maybe even more problematic, because they're both, like I said, there's no Flash core. You got to have a Kid Flash, and here we're going to have Impulse again soon, I think. I don't know if, because he's going to show up on the TV, or he's in Young Justice again, and so we'll see him in the comics again. It's frustrating, because Wally's my Flash. Didn't deserve to go out like this in the end.
I agree. And I think that's, it's funny, because the success of Wally West as a character is ultimately what has proven a hurdle in his getting the spotlight for the past few years. I think a lot of people would love to see Wally West back as the Flash, but I think that would be at the expense of Barry Allen. And now you have, you know, just given that, what, I mean, when did Flash Rebirth was in like 2010 or something. Mm-hmm. So it's been almost a decade of Barry Allen being back. And like you said, he's been adapted to television. He's been adapted to animated movies. A lot of people who have come into comics in the last 10 years, we're now faced with the same paradox. Barry Allen is now their Flash again. So they don't want to see this guy Wally West come in and take over. And again, it's just interesting that they've been able to make it work with some other franchises, most notably Green Lantern. They've been able to find a place for all these characters. But I think in Flash, it's always going to be Barry fans versus Wally fans. And it's unfortunately, I don't think the two can coexist.
It's just, I don't know a lot of people who were Barry fans pre-rebirth, honestly.
Oh, no. You know? Well, I mean, that's what I was saying, is that, like, you kind of gave an unabridged history of the pre-crisis Barry Allen character, but ultimately he was a character whose book came to a grinding halt because of the trial storyline that you mentioned, which, you know, love it or hate it, it went on forever and kind of, for better or worse, defined the character. And then the book got canceled. He went into crisis. I mean, you can argue it got canceled because they knew what they were going to do in crisis, but one way or another, not a lot of people were reading it. And then he got killed in crisis. And the issue where he dies is one of the greatest issues.
Oh, it's great.
Of all time, because you get to see this A-level hero make this incredible sacrifice. And that, to me, made him so important in the DC universe, because moving forward from 1986 on, you had not Barry Allen, the Flash, the character, you had Barry Allen, the Flash, the looming presence, the legacy, the guy who was so good that he sacrificed his life to save the entire universe, if not multiple universes. And that was, to me, had more value. And
it was interesting to see Wally try to live up to that. He always tried to hold himself up to that standard. And that,
exactly, because how can you live up to that? Right.
It's impossible. Like the story writes itself. I mean, you see that arc lined up for him. And then he conquers it ultimately, which is great. And so, yeah, he was allowed to develop, change, grow. And that's why I'll miss Wally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, at the end of the day, I think Flash is always going to be a cool character. Flash is always going to be awesome. He's always going to look cool. He's always going to run. And he's always going to have great villains. And he's always going to have a good attitude. But yeah, there was something special about the Wally West character that we got for, like, man, just decades that really, really was special. Ultimately, to end things, Todd, what is your favorite Wally West story?
That's a good question. I'm going to say the end of the... That's a great question. The last
you can name issue. A few. You can name a few if you want.
Yeah, okay, I'll go ahead. I'll talk... the end of the Return of Barry Allen storyline, where he realizes, I don't need this ghost hanging over me anymore. I do like the way they portray Wally in the Barry Allen Flash Rebirth too, where he, you know, he's just so happy to see him and come back. But I think my favorite Wally story might actually be DC Universe Rebirth, where it's told from his perspective, trying to come back, and ultimately he gets that acceptance, and Barry's the one who remembers him.
Yeah, it's a beautiful moment. Yeah. I just sent that out on my Instagram and my Twitter when I found out about what had happened to Wally. I just screen capped the moment from DC Universe Rebirth that you're referring to, where Barry's hugging him and saying, "How could I ever forget you?" That was the moment where I was convinced that what I said earlier wasn't true. And I was like, oh, all right, they can both exist together. Like, this is so great. We're going to have both Flashes and it's going to be awesome. So I almost, you know what? I still hope for it. I still hope it's going to happen.
There's another Barry story. I think it involves an airplane. Or, I'm sorry, Wally's story.
Yeah.
Involving an airplane that's just a standalone, done in one, told from his perspective. I think it's 54, 56, maybe. Pre-Wade, Bill Lebs.
Yeah, that's a Bill Lebs.
It's
one.
Fantastic. Yeah. Just trying to think, just his looking the world from his perspective and the creative way he solves this problem in you know, how time stands still for him. It was fun.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Bill Loebs is kind of the unheralded Wally West creator. I mean, Mike Baron wrote him initially, post-Crisis, but I think Loebs was the one who really, he was the first one to really get him as the Flash and figure out fun ways to use him, and then Wade and Johns just kind of picked up from there. All the ones you said are great. I also love Born to Run, which is Wade and I want to say Mike Waringo, but I could be wrong on that. It's basically just a year one for Wally West as the Flash, or as Kid Flash, really. It's just his origin retold, his relationship with Barry, all the stuff that makes him special, all the stuff we've been talking about for the last hour.
Yeah, that was the story right after Return of Barry Allen, I believe.
Yeah, they went right back and they're like, all right, we're going to now establish, you know, the origin of Wally West and why he's so important. A lot of the John stuff was great. Blitz was incredible, which is the first Flash Zoom story. And then the kind of ultimate story that he keeps building to with Rogue War, which is kind of wraps up the Wally West portion of John's career. And there's actually the story Ignition was really good too, where he forgot who he was for a second. And he regains his memory. It's got beautiful art by Alberto Dose. Just so much great stuff for Wally West. If he is gone, which almost has less of an impact now because we've only had him back for a couple years, really. But if he is gone, certainly it'll be something we'll all feel. Oh, and you know what? We didn't even mention maybe one of the best Wally West interpretations was on the Justice League animated series.
Yeah, Michael Rosenbaum.
Yeah, Michael Rosenbaum as Wally West. I mean, I don't think they ever actually stated. What did they actually state that his name was Wally? That it was Wally?
I don't know. Russell would probably know. Greg and Nick would probably know. But he was the only Flash that we'd had for, I don't know, 10 years at that point. So,
and I think he goes unmasked at some point and he has red hair, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. But he's clearly Wally West. And he was great. And that had some of the best Flash moments of years. And I'm particularly thinking of the one where he has to keep running around the planet. He's the only Justice Leaguer left standing. Mm-hmm. And they're fighting like the Brainiac Luthor combination. And he looks like he's going to run away, but instead he runs all the way around the Earth so he can build up momentum to punch Brainiac and Luthor. And then just keeps doing it and then almost disappears into the Speed Force and then comes back. Just magnificent stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I think we've said our piece on Wally West, great character. I think there's still room for him. I hope he comes back. I hope this is all part of a larger plan. But if not, there's a lot of great classic comics out there to read.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I feel a little better, you know.
It's been
Requiem of sorts.
I hope, we should call this, by the way, we should call it Requiem for Wally West. that's a good title. But, yeah, this was a good session for us to kind of share our love for Wally West and kind of express our sentiments on where he may or may not be going.
Yeah. I don't think he's dead, but
yeah, I don't think so
either. They're messing with us. That's what's going on.
It's tough. It definitely tugs at the heartstrings. So we'll see. Todd, of course, people can follow you across the internet, Twitter, Instagram, and on Marvel Age.
Yeah, you should, subscribe to Place to Be Nation Pop. If you're hearing this show for the first time, you get all our comic shows. Like PTBN Comics on Twitter. Join our Facebook group. Follow me at Todd Weber Guitar on Twitter or Guitars of Green on Instagram. I've been off Instagram for a couple weeks, but I'll be back on there. Ben, where can they find you, sir?
Sure, man. You can hear me on Marvel Age Masterclass, the show that I host spinning off of Marvel Age. You can find me on Twitter at Ben J. Morse. You can find me on Instagram and at Ben Morse 882. And then I'm also part of the Place to Be Nation Comics Facebook page. So I'll be checking in there. And let us know, guys. Let us know your thoughts. If you have your own Wally West stories to share, if you think we're full of crap and you like Barry Allen better, you can say that too. But let us hear what you have to say. And with that, let's draw this to a close. Todd, thanks for taking the time to chat with me, man.
Thank you, Ben.
All right, guys. Take care.